Well, hello, this is your host, Ron King, and you're listening to The Ron King Show on RKP Radio. On our shows, you'll get to hear gospel and contemporary Christian music and some interviews of Christian singers and bands from the local tri-state area of western Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia, and eastern Ohio. So keep listening for all of that and more. We'll return right after this message.
Here is a seed of hope, encouragement, and inspiration from the sower, Michael Guido.
The Sunday school teacher was telling her class about the birth of the baby Jesus. She asked, "Why was there no room for him in the inn?" "Because," said a boy who traveled much, "Joseph did make a reservation. Our Lord said, 'In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.' If you'd have him to prepare a place for you in heaven, you must prepare a place for him in your heart. Invite him into your heart, and he'll invite you into his home in heaven. That's how you make a reservation for heaven. Have you made your reservation for heaven?"
Sign up to get our free daily devotional, Seeds of Hope, on our website at guidoministries.org or write us at P.O. Box 508, Metter, Georgia, 30439.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Ron King Show. I'm your host, Ron King of RKPRadio.com. And today we are going to be doing things just a little bit differently. Ordinarily, on our show, we interview a Christian musician or singer. But today we'll be interviewing an exciting new Christian author. And so, Mr. Paul Hatulski, welcome to our show, buddy.
Well, thanks, Ron, for inviting me to be a part of your show. I really appreciate that.
Paul, where do you live? Where are you calling in from?
I live in southwestern Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh, a small community called Houston, Pennsylvania.
Okay. It's you're not living in Houston, Texas, then?
No. Far from it.
Cool. Paul, you have a brand new book out. Could you tell us the name of that book and what it's about?
The name of the book is Life's Little Tidbits, and the key word there is tidbits. Years ago, I felt the Lord tell me to look at everyday life, events in my everyday life, and learn a godly lesson from them. And I started writing some of those lessons down, and as they started to accumulate, I would share them with friends and family, and friends and family told me that you really should try to get those published. They're good. So I'm not patting myself on the back here by any means. But so I listened to him, and I went ahead and put those little tidbits together. There's 95 total, and they're in this book, and I got it published, and it's on the market.
Well, that is great. Is this your first book, Paul?
It is, yeah. I never felt inspired prior to this to do anything like this.
Yeah, I know that you used to write this little blog, just your thoughts about various things, and email them out to your friends and family. And that probably got you started with this writing business. Then you could move on to a book. Is that how it happened a bit?
That's correct. That's exactly how it happened. And again, by sending those blogs out, that's when people started encouraging me to take it one step further and put it in book form.
So how many years from the blogs until you published this book, how long did that take?
Good question. I don't have an exact number of years, but it's been several years, probably since roughly 2013, 2014, I started putting my ideas, pencil to paper, and finally it came to this.
So it took a little while to germinate then and come together. Paul, did you write this book by yourself? Did you have a ghostwriter? Did you have anyone help you with it?
The majority of the book I did write, but my wife also has some input. She has five tidbits, as we call them, in the book, And quite frankly, they are from a little bit of a different perspective. They're from a woman's perspective, but I'll tell you what, there's some powerful lessons in what she's written.
Mm-hmm. What's your wife's name, Paul?
My wife's name is Kathy.
Okay. Kathy, you and Paul are going to become famous.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Paul, could you tell us briefly how this book came to be, the actual book?
Once I felt to move forward and have my blogs put in book form, I started searching the web for a reputable publisher, and I found the publisher that I'm using, Westbow Press, which is a division of Zondervan and Thomas Nelson, two big names.
Oh, they're just the biggest guns in the Christian publishing business. You have yourself a good publisher there, Paul.
Yeah, I feel that I do. They worked mm-hmm. with me. They've done a lot to help me. Since this is my first book, I was clueless on which way to go. And they've done very well in getting me moving forward with it.
Yeah, I've read most of your book, and it is indeed a good one. Paul, little incidents happen to all of us each and every day, but most of the time we don't remember much about them. How is it then that you're able to take mundane, everyday occurrences and equate them with very specific Bible verses? That's quite a talent.
Well, I really felt that the Lord showed me years ago that I needed to do just that, to look at everyday incidents and everyday life in general and find a godly lesson from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do that. And in doing that, I've also looked back at my past, even my BC days, before Christ days, some incidents that happened back then that I could learn from. And when those would come to mind, I'd write them down and I'd pray about it, and I'd look into the incident and figure out, okay, what's God trying to teach us from this incident?
Okay.
And I'd put those into words, and that's my tidbits.
Paul, did you always like writing? Did you write anything like when you were in high school?
Well, actually, junior high school, I mm-hmm. did. I started writing, and this is going to age me, but I started writing A Man from U.N.C.L.E. from UNCLE, United Network Man for Law and Enforcement story, because I loved that television show.
Uh-huh.
And it was still on the air when I did that writing. I had I had several chapters written down, and I would share them with my friends. And then, unfortunately, one day, it just disappeared. I don't know what happened to it, but it was gone.
You think somebody liked your material so much that they stole it?
Well, you know, I have looked at various paperback copies of Man from U.N.C.L.E. stories, trying to see if it was titled The Roundhouse Affair, trying to see if The Roundhouse Affair appeared in any of them, and it hasn't. So.
Okay. What high school did you graduate from, Paul?
I graduated from Cannon McMillan High School, located in Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, in western Pennsylvania. How about the grades? Were you a very good student?
No, I was average.
like a C+ or something?
Yeah, C average. the problem is I didn't apply myself. I was more interested in hanging out with my friends and doing all that kind of stuff. Had I applied myself, I probably would have been better.
Yeah, like a lot of teenagers, all we want to do is play. Paul, like many of us, at one time you were not a Christian. Is there any specific event in your life that brought you to the foot of the cross to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah, let me preempt that by saying that for 10 years prior to this event, people witnessed to me, people that I worked with, my mother-in-law at the time, and a few other people that I knew that lived around where I did. And then one day, my wife, my first wife, decided she was going to leave me, and she did.
Uh-oh.
And she took my children. I mean, I still could see my children, but they were no longer living with me. And it was at that point in time that a lot of what people had been telling me about Jesus, who would never leave, never forsake you, came back to me. And I actually went to my mother-in-law at that time, and she actually led me to Jesus.
Well, that's kind of interesting in that, you know, she was your mother-in-law or ex-mother-in-law. A lot of times when the marriages fail, the last thing a man would want to do is go to his ex-mother-in-law for some help.
Yeah.
You must have had a good relationship with her, obviously.
I did. And I know, prior to that, she didn't keep any secret that she was praying for both my wife and I, mm-hmm. for our salvation, and she'd witnessed to us. But unfortunately, I didn't listen to her until after the fact, after her daughter decided that our marriage needed to end.
Okay. So. Well, listen, Paul, we'll change the subject here. Many years ago, when I owned a Christian radio station, WRKP-FM, in Moundsville, West Virginia, you worked as a volunteer DJ for us.
Yes.
For several years. Would you tell our listeners how that all happened? Because at the time, you and I didn't even know each other.
No, we didn't. And actually, I was at WRKP for 10 years.
Wow.
And the way it came about, though, is my mom was originally from Moundsville, West Virginia, and she still had relatives there, my aunts, some cousins, and every year she'd go down to visit them. So I drove her down to visit my aunt, and whenever I would travel after becoming a Christian, I would search for Christian radio stations. And I happened upon WRKP, and it just so happened while I was listening to it, you actually ran an ad for volunteer DJs. And this is something that I wanted to do since I was a child. I wanted to be a disc jockey on the radio. So I went to the station, I talked to your program director at the time, and she more or less hired me on the spot.
Yeah, I guess since we weren't paying you, we didn't have a whole lot to lose, did we?
No, but I'll tell you what, to me, it was priceless. The experience and being able to fulfill a childhood dream.
Yeah.
I feel the Lord blessed me with that.
Well, we were blessed by you, too. Paul, I guess that you enjoyed working at the station because you were there several years. Can you remember any funny or interesting stories that happened while you were working with the station?
Oh, my gosh. There is one I was just thinking about recently, to tell you the truth,
uh-huh.
Where we would do live remotes, where I would go out and do interviews, and one of the assignments was to go out to a county fair in Ohio, and I went to the county fair. I got all set up with the equipment that we used that worked with the phone system, and I'm talking to my contacts there, and they said, "Oh, you got to talk to this old gentleman." I can't remember his name, but they said he's been at every county fair. He's in his 80s. He's been to every county fair there ever was. He's got some great stories. You need to talk to him. I says, well, bring him over. So they did. And for people that might not know radio, a lot of times you'll do a pre-interview before you actually go on the air with the interview. And so that's what I did with this gentleman. And I'm asking him different questions, and he's just rattling off and giving these wonderful stories of different fairs and different stuff going on. And I'm like, this is going to be great. So I told the program director, okay, we're ready for this. And she went ahead and, you know, opened everything up to where we could do the interview.
So you guys were actually on the air at this point?
Well.
Or maybe she was recording it.
Yeah, you record it, then you play it.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it was what was going to be going out over the air. And so I started asking this gentleman the same questions. Well, instead of the wonderful stories, his answers were like, yep, that's right. Yep, just like I told you. Sure, that's the way it happened.
I
was dying.
You used him all up on the first pass.
And he didn't understand. I wanted him to feed me the same answers. Uh-huh. And I could hear the program director in my headset just chuckling because she knew what was going on.
That's hilarious. I've had that happen to me. I'm interviewing somebody, and they're just so grand and so loquacious. Prior to the actual interview, you go on the air, and they're saying, yep, nope, yep, nope. Oh, Paul, can you remember any? We did a whole lot of Christian concerts, sponsored a lot of Christian concerts back in the old days with the WRKP. Can you remember any of the concerts at all that we sponsored that you worked at?
Oh, yeah. Ray Bolts, for one.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to run one of the cameras that they used. They had like big screen TVs up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a few cameras around the auditorium, and they would switch between the cameras, and the people in the audience could look up on the screens and get a close-up of Ray singing. And I had the opportunity to run one of those cameras, which was exciting.
Yeah, I bet that would have been fun. I remember the Ray Bolts concert. Actually had him in a couple of times. I believe we brought him into Steubenville at one time at St. Paul's Arena. Paul, as you and I both know, you love Christian music as well as writing. And somewhere along the way, I know you learned how to play bass guitar. How did that happen?
When I was in my early to mid-20s, I was, my brother-in-law, actually, he lived down in the Carolinas, he came up to visit, he brought some guitars with him, and one of the guitars he brought up was a bass guitar, and I had always loved bass, the low tones in music, so he let me mess around with his guitar a little bit, and it just intrigued me, and I wanted to learn it. At the time, unfortunately, I wasn't in any position to be able to afford one or to have any avenue to actually play the bass guitar. So years later, when I was in my 40s, my oldest daughter and I stopped in a music store in Washington, Pennsylvania, southwestern Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in there, let me backtrack a little bit. Between my 20s and that time, I had injured my left index finger.
Okay.
So even though I'm right-handed, I felt that I needed to play left-handed bass guitar. It would just be easier because of that injured index finger. And my daughter and I went into this music store, and lo and behold, they had two left-handed bass guitars. Up to that point, I could not find one anywhere, and that's sort of right around the time eBay and them were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually had one of my favorite color, green. And I called my daughter over. I grabbed the guitar, and I'm sitting there messing with it. I had it plugged into an amp, and I called my daughter over, and I said, what do you think? And she said, Dad, you've always wanted to play. Why not now? So, again, I was in my mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and purchased it, and 2 years later, I wound up playing on our church's worship team.
Okay, and, so do you still play bass guitar in your church worship team now?
Well, I was up until COVID.
And, Everything went kafooey then, huh?
Yeah, it's not that I couldn't, but things are a little bit different now. So
yeah, you wanted to be conservative and make sure you and other folks weren't getting sick. How long did you play the bass guitar in your church worship band?
From the year 2000 till just earlier in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, Paul, in your book, you said that several years after your divorce from your first wife, you were praying that you might be able to find a godly woman and get married again. And then you met a nice lady at the church that you you eventually married that nice lady. Tell us a bit about how that happened.
Yeah, again, she is co-author of the book. Her name's Kathy. And what had happened is I was praying. I was praying hard. And I actually, a point earlier that year, I'd actually prayed to the Lord. I said, you know, the desire of my heart is to have another wife. But if that's not what your will is for my life, then I'm willing to stay single. But just if you would take that desire away. Well, and I'd pray for specifics about what I would like in a wife, that one of the specifics was that she would love the Lord as much as I do, if not more. And so later that year, I'm playing bass on our worship team, and I noticed this girl out in the crowd. And what I didn't know was she also noticed me. And a little while later, a mutual friend decided to introduce us, and it was uphill from there. Let's put it that way. we started seeing each other, and how long was it? That was November. It was 10 months later, we were married.
Wow, that was pretty doggone fast. That's a great story. Paul, I know you and your wife have had the opportunity to go on a few educational mission trips. Where are some of the places that you two have traveled?
Well, educationally, we've gone to Israel. We actually did a trip where we went to Egypt, Jordan, and Israel. That was a teaching trip. It followed the Exodus, which was a wonderful trip. We've been to Israel together another time. I actually went to Israel with a couple of people from our church prior to that. So mm-hmm. I've been to Israel three times.
My goodness. You're a world traveler, Paul.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Where else might you like to travel once this COVID business is over?
Well, we've talked about that. We would like to go back to Israel because we feel there's a lot we missed. But we just like to travel. So any place that the Lord would open up for us to go, we would be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Paul, do you think you or your wife might write any more books in the future?
Actually, my wife is presently working on a project. She wants to do a Christmas devotional, and she has my blessing on it. I also have a bunch more tidbits rolling around in my head. I haven't put them on paper yet. But, we're seriously considering doing just that.
Yeah, those life's little tidbits, they could keep on rolling in as long as you're alive, couldn't they?
Yep, yes, they could.
Paul, if any churches out there would want you to come to their church and speak about your book and maybe even do a book signing, would you be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the stories that I have in there, I want to touch lives with them.
That's great.
If I can personally promote that and help people to get to a place with the Lord, whether they know the Lord or not, to put their hind feet on a little bit higher ground, I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. How do people get a hold of your books? Say somebody listening wants to buy your book. How do they get it?
They can go on to Amazon, and they can put in Life's Little Tidbits. And you have to do the search under books, though.
Okay.
If you do it in general, there's too long a listing.
Right.
So do the search under books, and you can find it there. Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
you can find it online with them. And you can also go directly to Westbow Press. That's Westbow Press.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it online through them.
Oh, that's great. So you really have it distributed quite well worldwide. Paul, what about some contact information for you? Do you have a Facebook page?
I do. Mm-hmm. And if you just look up my name, Paul Hatalsky, Hatalsky,
mm-hmm.
You can find the Facebook page that way.
Okay. And what about a phone number?
Phone number,
mm-hmm.
yeah. If anyone would want to give me a call, it's 724-263-1898. Let me repeat that, 724-263-1898.
You indeed are a broadcasting pro, because I was just going to say, how about repeating that again for broadcasting sake? But being the trooper and true professional that you are, you pulled it off all by yourself, Paul.
Well, I learned from the best one. You being the best.
Yeah, that was Lou Ann, our program director. Well, listen, Paul, I see our time is just about up for this edition of the Ron King Show. I wish you well with your book. And thanks so very much for being our guest today. And so then, on behalf of Christian author Mr. Paul Hatalsky, this is Ron King of RKP Radio saying, so long till we catch you next time on the Ron King Show. You've been listening to The Ron King Show on RKP Radio. If you'd like to contact us for any reason, you may do so by calling 724-225-2030. That's 724-225-2030. Or by emailing us at ronking3@verizon.net. That's Ron King, then the number 3@verizon.net. Until next time, then, this is your host, Ron King, saying keep a song and Jesus in your heart. So long.